Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
So, 2019, you did it, friends. Give yourself a little slap on the back, all right? You made it another year. Or clap for yourself. Clap for me. Thank you, Sue. I appreciate it. It's my mother-in-law. I love her a lot. So, I want to talk about dreams, about dreaming. My wife, Nikki, is not here. She's at a basketball tournament with my son in Eau Claire. And she loves January. It's her favorite month of the year because she's a coach, if you didn't know that, like a life coach, entrepreneur coach. And coaches are all about looking back and reflecting and leave behind what you don't and keep with you into the new year and then to dream of what's coming up. So I thought we'll talk about dreaming. And part of dreaming is waiting. And it's the part about dreaming that we don't like. If you're like me, I'm an activator, I'm a go, 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 go kind of guy, and waiting just feels like inefficient. So I thought I'd share a story with you about how we had this big dream and this big vision and how it all got changed in one conversation. Nikki and I started at the Duluth Vineyard, which is, imagine this, in Duluth. And when we started, it was right around like 250 people. This was in 2004. And we worked there for just a little over 12 years. And it grew a little bit to bigger than 250 people. And it became like what you would designate as a large church. And we were youth pastors there, and we were marriage and family pastors there. And it was such a good experience. And then probably like 10 years into our, so like around 2014, 2015, Michael, who's one of the senior pastors, came to Nikki and I and said, hey, I'm thinking about stepping down from being the senior leader, and would you and Nikki ever consider leading this church? And really, it's odd because like the way that I operate, I feel like if I can do something, everybody can do it, right? I always feel like someone's finally just gonna like rip open the curtain and see like, oh, see, Chris, you really are just making up as you go along. So the fact that I'd get invited to lead a large church to be, Nikki and I to be the senior pastors, felt like an honor and it felt really scary. And so I started going to these conferences about how to lead a large church, and we went to a conference all about transitions and how do you make it healthy. And Nikki and I were on this course of, we're really gonna be what we call open-handed. God can put in what he wants and he can take out whatever he wants at any time. And we're just gonna say, continue to say yes. And I remember on one Saturday night, we had Saturday night services. It was like probably 5-7 minutes before Michael was going to get up and preach. And he came to grab Nikki and I and he said, hey, I need to talk to you. And he sat us down in this, what we call the welcome lounge. And he said, with humbleness and with love and with attention to us, and said, I just want to tell you as soon as possible, I think I'm supposed to stick on staff for another 10 years. So I'm really sorry. You're not going to be the senior leader of this church. And it's funny. I didn't feel, in that moment, I didn't feel anger. I wasn't like, oh, no, God, why now? Right? In that weird voice. It really felt like, felt fine. It felt good. Because wherever we were going, we're going to say yes, yes, yes. And then all of a sudden, in a 5-minute conversation, it was like, hey, here's what we're going to do for the next 20 years of our life. It was now like everything's an option. And I'm a 3 on the Enneagram. Any other 3s in the house? Anyone know what the Enneagram is? Hey, small group plug. We are going to have a whole small group. My wife's going to be leading all about the Enneagram. So if that's something you're curious about, it is. It's a great resource. But as a 3, I am an activator, which means it's like, we are going to do stuff, right? Work till you're dead. We are going to just accomplish and win, 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 win. And so for me, as soon as he said, you guys aren't going to do it, and we're going to celebrate and help you move and transition if you want to stay on staff or go do something else, all of a sudden the whole world was a place for Nikki and I to go pastor. I'm like, we could go to Colorado, we could go to Germany, we could go to Superior, we could go to Cloquet, we could go like to Renshaw even, like it's just all these, yeah, thank you, all right? There's always one Renshaw guy. He's like, yeah, I love that town. Yeah, right there too. So why am I talking about Renshaw? Oh, so it felt like, everything felt like an opportunity. It really did. And I was like, seriously, every other conversation with my wife was like, what if we went to St. Cloud, all right? What if we went down to Florida? And I love that. That feels good. I get a lot of energy out of that. This is where my wife and I are very different. That really stresses my wife out. Every time, even if we're going out to eat, I'm like, hey, where do you want to go to eat? You want to go to Grandma's? You want to go to Blackwood's? Do you want to go to McDonald's? Do you want to go over, you want to eat at home? And she's like, just pick one. Don't talk to me anymore, right? So you can imagine with like us making a huge decision for our family, for our career, for our life, she asked, she said, can we just like hit pause? Can we just wait? Can we just not talk about it for a while? Which felt, what's the right word? It felt so inefficient. I'm very efficient. If I'm driving to my friend's house who's a half mile away, I know the most efficient way because there's one less stop sign. And this is like in Esco, all right? So there's no stoplights or traffic. And if my wife goes the other way, I'm like, honey, what are you doing? You're getting an extra stop sign. Let's go. And so the idea to wait and not talk about something that I am incredibly passionate about, which is helping people connect with a good and beautiful God, felt wrong. But I am so thankful that my wife really invited me into a place to grow and to really, instead of, because really there was a lot of options for us to do, but when I had to like get quiet and I had to like get still and I had to slow down, all of a sudden there was this like this depth. Instead of like, let's just go do something, it was an invitation to say, well, what is God really inviting us into? And in that space, through our whole entire family, and instead of just me saying, here, we're going here, like as a whole family, we really discovered that like Cloquet is the place for our family. Cloquet is a place for a church. I mean, look around. God's doing some amazing things. So as we talk about dreaming, where I want to start and where we're going to camp out for a while is waiting. Because we have to get used to awkward spaces. You really do. We don't like awkward conversations. Right? We probably avoid them. At work, you probably know like the one person who's always, you know, has like an awkward conversation or the tick where like they pick their nose while you're talking to them and you're like, this is so awkward, right? You're like looking around, all right? We don't have anyone on staff that does that in our place, by the way. So, but here's why you have to get used to the awkward. Have you ever had a hard conversation where you were feeling some feelings, where you were vulnerable, you felt some hurt, you felt some pain, and you took the risk to finally talk to a friend, talk to a therapist, talk to your partner? And as soon as it came out of your mouth of like, I feel, I hurt, I'm angry, I want, I dream, blah, 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 blah. As soon as it came out of your mouth, it's in the air, you felt this nervousness. You felt this anxious. Anyone been there? And so you just feel the need just to keep talking. And you just talk and you talk and talk. Because you know that if there's silence, you even try like breathing. And you're talking, and that feels awkward to breathe, right? Because you know that if you slow down, that if you stop, if you let there actually be some silence, it's just you and the unknown. It's just you and that pain. It's you and that hurt, you and that dream, and it feels odd. But one of the best gifts that you can give to yourself, one of the best gifts as a friend, to you're listening to your friend, they just ramble on, and they want you just to fix it, they want you just to answer it. One of the best gifts you can have is just say nothing. Because when it's in the air and you allow that quietness, you allow that stillness, the same way I said before, all of a sudden there becomes this depth. And I firmly believe that everything that you need in life is not somewhere else. I really don't believe that like God put like this truth or this dream or this skill and it's out there and then he's going to take it and then he's going to put it in you. I believe everything you need is God has already deposited in you. It's already in you. And sometimes in that silence, we have to let that just like bubble up. And we see this all throughout Scripture about dreaming and waiting. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'm going to be reading Psalm 40, just a part of it. And I'm going to ask that you, however you quiet, however you put yourself in a posture of curiosity, however you enjoy learning, as I read this, I want you just to slow down. I want you to breathe, relax your shoulders, and I'm going to read it fairly slowly, and I want you just to hear it. Because in this psalm, I really believe there is an invitation. There's an invitation to have big dreams, but also to wait. Starting with verse 1. I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked, finally this God listened. He lifted me out of the ditch. He pulled me from the deep mud, and he stood me on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. And he taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this, and they enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God, turn your backs on the world's sure thing, and ignore what the world worships. The world has a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. Nothing and no one comes close to you. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly I run out of words. Neither numbers nor words account for you. Doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after. Being religious, acting pious, that's not what you're asking for. You've opened my ears so I can listen. So I answered, I'm coming. I read in your letter what you wrote about me, and I'm coming to the party that you are throwing for me. And that's when God's word entered my life and became part of my very being. I waited and I waited and waited for God, and at least he noticed me. I love this. That is a beautiful piece of poetry right there. You see, Psalms are this vulnerable space. Like each book of the Bible has a different theme. It has a different way of communicating. And in Psalms, we could find all sorts of things that we're not going to hold on to, like, oh, this is not a theological, I mean, it's a theological book, but we're not going to make a theological point, as in, I waited and waited, and finally God noticed me. Like, God is not like walking around, going for a jog, and all of a sudden, oh, Sodder, forgot about him. Yeah, now he noticed you. Okay, go, right? That's not how it works. What the author is saying here is it's not so much that God all of a sudden noticed him. It was something in the waiting, something happened in that author, something in him. You see, I firmly believe that when we wait, we are connecting and receiving from God. Because in your dreams, as you dream for 2019, before God does something through you, he's going to do something in you. The divine will always do something in you before the divine does something through you. And whatever this person was walking through, right? Whatever they're walking through, there was this waiting, maybe in pain, maybe in turmoil, maybe in peace, but it was still waiting, day after day after day, just waiting. And there's something beautiful about that. Like, for instance, I have a ton of dreams and vision for this community. Like for this church and for Carlton County, I have a ton of dreams. And if you know me, I always want to be doing something more, like more dreams, like more vision. And what I've learned is that even in this community and myself, before God does even more through us, God's going to do something in this community. Because there is thousands of people in Carlton County. There's thousands of people in St. Louis County, who I believe are dying to be noticed. And the idea of them coming to some sort of spiritual community just is asinine, because like I didn't do enough, or I already did enough, and there's no way that this God would ever allow me in there. Definitely the pastor wouldn't want to talk to me, and I don't look like them, I don't act like them, I don't even believe like them. There's no way I can come. And my dream is that we can have a radically inclusive place where anyone could come. And I've noticed that instead of just planning another event, instead of planning something else, I've had to slow down and say, all right, God, I'm going to wait. Like, for instance, that I would love to have a building, right? I think having a building would be amazing. And we've looked at every single space, every single building that's available in Cloquet, and right now there's nothing that really works for us. And part of me just feels like, well, then let's just go build one. Let's go make it happen. And I've had a pause. Saying, well, that's right now, today, that's just not what God's doing. But part of me just, you ever felt that before? And you're like, well, let's just make it happen, right? Like a good man thing to do. We'll just do it harder, right? We'll just make it happen and all will be work out. And so we've had to wait to figure out what is God doing in this community. So when the time comes where we can find a building, we can build a building, whatever that might be, that we're actually ready, that we're not just building a building. Because church is not about a building. Buildings are nice. That's not the point. Like, the church is about people connecting with a good and beautiful God, people flourishing in relationship with one another. So before we talk about the dream, I'm gonna give you some things about as you dream. I just want to encourage you, don't be afraid of the silence. Don't be afraid of the wait. It feels like a threat for some of you, but there is a richness and a beauty in the pausing. So, on to the dreaming. So for 2019, as you dream, I wanna give you a couple tips. The first thing is this. You have to, where we have to start is you have to actually like say it out loud. You have to get it out of your mouth. Because maybe you're here and you are called to wait. And you have this dream, you're like, no, I'm just going to wait. And then for some of you, you use the waiting as an excuse. Like, no, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting on that Lord. Good Lord, I'm waiting, all right? But something inside of you knows you've seen opportunity, you've seen injustice. You have a dream. There's something inside you. Like you're passionate about something, and you've seen it, and there's opportunity, and you feel like you're ready to move towards it, but you don't. I hope there's more than just me. You have like this idea of like, yeah, I'm gonna start going to the gym, or I'm gonna start like lifting weights. I'm gonna get huge, right? But you don't want to say like, I don't want to say it to Nikki because then she might like look at me and laugh, right? Right? Seriously though, if you have a dream, even how small or how big, when it comes out of your mouth, all of a sudden you don't own it anymore. You don't get to control the narrative. You don't get to control the story because you get to see their expression. They might give you the stink eye, right? They might laugh. They might get excited. And then you might even have, they're going to remind you about it. Right? If I say, oh, I want to lose 20 pounds and I'm going to start working out, Nikki is going to see me like eating my fourth bag of Doritos and say, hey, you remember that? Is that going to help you lose 20 pounds? Like, don't talk to me. Right? But where you need to start is like, get it out of your head. That dream that you have, like the thing you're passionate about, it's beautiful and we need it. So a great place to start is to write it down. Share it with your therapist. Share it with a friend. Get it out in the open. Then you can do something about it, which is you just leave the straps behind. Let's just be done with the straps. We have a society where we kind of celebrate the self-made woman, the self-made man, someone who pulls himself up by the bootstraps. And it's just like we honor them. We're like, oh, they started this business all by themselves is an absolute lie, right? We do nothing alone. We're made for a community. Even in your dreams, as you have this dream and you share it with one person, begin to share it with others. Like, again, selfless plug for small group. Find a group of people where you can begin to share life with so you can celebrate it, so you can grieve, so you can brainstorm. And for me, really, the biggest part of having some sort of community that we kind of sometimes just like, we like, oh yeah, that's okay, but it's so important is prayer. The thing I loved about the Vineyard when I first came to it, it wasn't just like, I still remember one time I went up to someone, one of my first times at the Vineyard, and I'm like, hey, I'm having this problem, and I would really love if you could just pray for me. And that was always code for, then we're going to walk away, and you're going to pray for me some other time alone, and you're not going to look me in the eyes and touch me and pray for me, right? Because that's weird. And they're like, okay. And they like, can I pray for you right now? I'm like, that's not how it works. Sorry. Right? You can't renegotiate the contract. It is firm. But I remember like hundreds of times of how life-giving it was for someone to care enough about me in that moment for God to come and do something good. And so my invitation for you, as you have that dream, as you wait, and as you begin to process it, have a community of people around you. Maybe even like ask someone for prayer. Like we have ministry time. People who, where we pray for one another, and we're going to be having it like right over here under the hoop for some reason. Like, we're going to get in a circle. No, we're not going to do that. That was a bad joke. what am I talking? Oh, there's people here to pray with you that can be that first community for you. Because when you have that dream and saying, I want that dream, like for the building, I don't want to just have this dream on my own. I want to connect it with what God's doing. And then lastly, so we want you to talk about it. You need a community of people, and we also need to, you need to actually do it, right? You actually have to like actually take the first step in doing it. It's easy in the dreaming process just to stay in the waiting and the talking and like, that's a good idea. At some point, you're gonna have to pick up the phone and make that appointment with your doctor. At some point, you're going to have to go and talk to your partner about the healing that you want to see between you. At some point, you might actually have to go instead of meeting with the therapist from what happened when you were a kid. At some point, you may actually have to take some money and invest in that new business that you want to start. At some point, you may have to walk over to that beautiful woman and say, do you want to go on a date with me? If you're single. Let me say that. If you're single. Like, Chris told me I can, man. That's the Bible. But you have to take the first step. So my invitation, friends, is that there is beauty inside of you. It doesn't have to be a dream just in this community. Sometimes that I get frustrated about spiritual communities is that we can make it just about the church and all your dreams and all your best and everything has to just be in the church. Even that, like, I'm a big fan of small groups and a huge fan of this church. But you can have a small group that is like a group of friends, a group of neighbors that isn't like sponsored by the Cloquet Vineyard. Like, I want you to have dreams for yourself, your health, your friendships, your neighbors, your business, your work, your school, your college, your family. And it's worth it. So here's, I'd like to read the last part of Psalm 40. Oh man, I love this. Oh, here, I forgot to say it. I want to show you my dream. Before we wrap up, yeah. My dream for this community, like the building separate, but like what I want for 2019, and I hope this isn't brand new to you. If you're newer to this community, you're gonna hear me say this all the time. And I've heard people repeat it back to me, which is a way that you know that your vision or your dream is like connecting in your family, connecting your circle of friends, connecting at work in a community is because they begin to repeat it. Here's what I want. It's two things. I want a community. I want a place where someone can just walk off the street, can step out of the car, walk in, and feel like they're at home. To have a place where you don't have to look like us. You don't have to like raise your hands the right way for worship. You don't have to stand up. You can sit down. You can believe something different from us. You can express yourself differently. You can be a totally different place of life, but you're going to have a place where you can flourish, where you can experience something good and beautiful, and not by performing, and not by doing everything we're doing, just by showing up. And I've heard from so many people that they feel like they're home. They feel like they belong. They feel like they can experience something good and beautiful. And like I said earlier, I believe that there's thousands of people who are just waiting to be asked, just waiting to be noticed. So like our energy and our time is going to go to continue to create a place where people can flourish. And the second one is in outside of like a great weekend service, like I wanna see like everywhere in Carlton County and St. Louis County at every table that there's life-giving conversations. That you can have a friendship, you can have a community, you can have people who can encourage you, who can laugh with you, who can celebrate with you, that can give you the high fives. And for a lot of us, we just don't know where to start. We don't know how we can have a friend. And the reason you're here is probably you want to connect with the divine in some way. And I imagine in some way you also want to connect with each other. And the people who have formed friendships, the people who have found a community of people just by showing up and being vulnerable is so incredibly beautiful. So my dream, where I want all of our energy to go, is to have that great like experience with the divine and then to continue to flourish in friendships. So I want to read. I want to read the end of Psalm 40 because when we wait and we have this dream, we have this vision, at the end, it tells us exactly what we get out of it. So I answered, I'm coming. I read in your letter what you wrote about me, and I'm coming to the party that you, God, are throwing for me. And that's when God's word entered my life, became part of my very being. Can we stand up? Would you guys mind? I'm gonna pray. So as I pray, I encourage you, however you connect with God, whatever makes you feel a place where you can receive. And I'm gonna pray for the waiting. And I'm gonna pray over the dreams that you might have. So let's pray. So God, we welcome you. And I love that line. I read the letter that you wrote to me. That God is actively pursuing you. And the divine sees you. And the invitation It's not to come struggle. The invitation isn't just to come be good enough. The invitation isn't just to be some cold, boring, churchy person. The invitation is to step into the party that you already are throwing for me. And that we can enter that word. We can enter that life. So I pray for my friends here this morning who need that. As they're waiting, or maybe as they're in pain, or maybe as they're confused, I pray, God, that your Spirit would come and fill them up. And there'd be hope, there'd be courage, and that there'd be dreams. Yeah. I pray for my friends who feel like they don't have permission to dream. I'm too young, I'm too old. I failed too many times. I've never tried enough. Dreams for their career, dreams for their writing, dreams for their kids, dreams for their mental health. I pray, God, you would unearth those dreams. And so that in those dreams, we can continue to connect other people to that same kind of party, the same kind of life. And we love you. Amen. So I'd like to invite down our prayer ministry team. And like I said, we're going to be kind of here in the back so that people can leave or you can feel free to come up. And there's two things I'm inviting you if you'd like to come get prayer. And I already forgot what they are. The first one is this. You want to dream, but you just, that has always been a struggle for you. You feel like you just don't have the freedom to dream. Or you feel like an inkling of a dream, but you just, it hasn't been fully formed. The people up here would love to pray for you. The second one is this, you're in the waiting period and you're angry. That's specifically what I felt like. You feel like you're in this like holding pattern and you're done with it. And that holding pattern might be in your job, it might be in your health, it might be in your weight, it might be in your marriage, it might be in your friendships, it might even be in your spirituality. If you're stuck, we would love nothing more than to pray for you. Thank you for coming to Cloquet Vineyard. We're going to play some more worship for a little bit. Have a great rest of your week.